الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أشد الناس عذابا يوم القيامة المصورون، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام، رواه البخاري. Last week we discussed about from the historical aspect that photography is totally haram, and the great harm of it is, amongst many others, that it leads to idol worship. Over a period of time, it leads to idol worship. Therefore, we should totally abstain from it. And there are a lot of other harms also. Today, inshallah, we'll try and talk from the rules, the masala point of view, that what is the position of photography in Islam and what are the rulings about it. In this hadith sharif of Bukhari, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the worst punishment on the day of Qiyamah will be for those people who make photos. And it comes also in a hadith, there will be three groups of people who will get the worst punishment on the day of Qiyamah. One of them are those people who kill a Nabi. We can well imagine how severe that guna is. The Nabi of Allah comes solely for the mercy and kindness of people. He has nothing for himself. He doesn't do anything for himself. He just wants the goodness of the people. In this world also, when we adopt the commands of Allah Ta'ala, when we use ourselves according to our Maker's, our Creator's instructions, then we get good service of ourselves in this world also. And of course in the Akhirat, that is the actual place for the reward and the great rewards there. But then a person who kills such a person, who comes for that very purpose, we can imagine what a terrible punishment. And vice versa, the Nabi who kills somebody. A Nabi is an embodiment of mercy. He is not sent to kill anyone. But if a person makes himself eligible, so much wrong, so much evil he commits, such a terrible gunas that a Nabi kills him, that will be also the worst punishment. The second are those people who are the leaders of evil. Those people who lead people to wrong. So in that also we have to be very careful, and we should not be in all these matters thinking of other people. We should think of ourselves. As parents, as fathers, mothers, if we are leading our children to wrong, we send them for wrong education, we send them to the wrong places, then we are also the leaders who are doing wrong. In every other aspect, whether it is the ulama, whoever, if they encourage towards secular education, towards which is atheism, where Allah Ta'ala is minus, where religion is minus, and where all other worst types of evil takes place, where freedom for one's lust and desire, and where our girls become the playground for the non-believers, and they use our girls for us. If we are sending our children to such places, or any other wrong that we promote, closing of the masjid even before we are forced to by the government, and having more strict protocols than even the government, anyone who are the leaders of evil, for them also is the worst punishment. And the third will be for those people who make photos. So we can imagine that it is equated, this guna of photography is equated with the people who kill a Nabi, the people who are killed by a Nabi, the leaders who lead people to all the wrong things. Photography is equated with that. So we can imagine how severe this guna is. And when we think of it, unfortunately also, when we were studying Bukhari Sharif, and Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. And the hadith came that the signs of a munafiq are three. Then Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, anyone now sitting here in the lessons of Bukhari Sharif, he's in the final year and he's going to graduate as an Ali. But if he thinks that so and so has got these qualities, then that will be a cause of destruction for that person. But if he reflects upon himself, that whether I have got those qualities, then that will benefit him. So this also all we hear, if we think of somebody else, then it will be a cause of our destruction. We should think of ourselves. Usually our nature has become any guna, we think that person is involved in that guna. That person, that maulana, that alim is involved in that guna. And we don't think about ourselves. We mustn't think about other people, think about ourselves first. That am I involved in that guna or not? So all these gunas, we should think about ourselves. That how much aren't we involved in photography? Today with the cell phone, the smartphone, so easy to take photos, and a person gets so easily tempted for anything to take a photo. So we should worry about ourselves, how much, and especially with Qurbani coming, what a noble ibadah, what a great ibadah, but we spoil it completely when we take in photos. We will speak evil about those people who are taking photos at Rauza Mubarak, in Medina Sharif, in the Masjid, at the Kaaba Sharif. But when we are taking photos here at Qurbani time, we are also equally guilty. But we don't think of ourselves that we are guilty. We think of other people. So we should be very, very careful with regard to ourselves. And in any and all forms of taking photos of inanimate objects, that what a severe warning is given, how severe the punishment. In another hadith it comes, إِنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَذَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الَّذِينَ يُضَاهُونَ فِي خَلْقِهِ. The worst punishment will be those people who copy Allah as far as His quality of creation is concerned. That when they make photos, they take photos, they are copying Allah Ta'ala. That how Allah Ta'ala made, like cloning for example. That is a more further stage. But the beginning stage is with the photos that a person takes. And here, a very beautiful point somebody pointed out, that when you, an artist who draws the picture of somebody, that is haram, and that was the original all along till the time of the camera. That was how photos were made. People used to draw them. That is one. And then with the camera, and more than the camera now, with the digital photo, that photo that is made, the copying of it is more exact with the digital camera, with the digital photo. More than an artist's impression, more than a camera, this digital photo which is taken. And the reason is given that you are copying the creative power of Allah Ta'ala. So with the digital photo, more you are copying the creative quality of Allah, so your haram is even more. More than what you draw with your pen, with a pencil, and you make a picture. More than the camera also. Many camera photos are quite a bit blurred. They are not so clear, not so perfect like what the digital photo is. So that makes it even more haram. Not permissible, but makes it more haram also. And then, also it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that on Qiyamah's day, a neck will come out, and it will pick up all those people who were photo makers, in whichever form. Whether it was drawn by the hand, whether it was made with the camera, or whether it is now this digital photography, until Qiyamah Allah only knows what other forms there were. Some year before the camera, nobody could know there could be a thing like a camera. Then the camera was in vogue, And then nobody knew that there will be the digital photo. Only Allah still knows what and what is going to come. All those people, they will be picked up by that neck and thrown before even Hisab Kitab. They will just be picked up and thrown into the fire of Jahannam. So this is not a small guna. It is, and unfortunately, it has become a very common guna. There are very few homes that you won't find a photo in the house. Inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq. We are not hanging up photos. Otherwise, good homes. Homes of ulama, prominent ulama, there are also photos displayed. In our offices, we have got frames of our babies, our grandchildren, etc. I mentioned it a few times. Once we were having meals, and the senior alim of the town, we were sitting together, and he put his keys or down on the dastarkhan, and on the with that key ring there was a photo, which due to some signs it appears that it was his wife, and he didn't, that photo wasn't put like that she's frowning or something, all made up and all smiling. And then that is displayed to other people also. Okay, so this photo making has become very common. How many of us are particular of if there are newspapers, magazines, even our money, as far as possible, try and put it such a way that the photo does not show. Where we can't help it, we can't help it. But just like that, try and cover that photo. Put a paper over it. Put something over it. When we are busy with it, so we should try and avoid. And also we should remember that as backbiting is haram, to listen to backbiting is also haram. For a woman to look at another man is haram. And for her to show herself to another man, not to take the precaution, is also haram. To take a photo is haram. To look at a photo is also haram. Even for a male to look at a male, that is also haram. And to look at a female is even more haram. Whether the news reader is a male or a female, whether we are watching some sports, cricket, soccer, and we are watching all those photos, all that is, besides the other sport itself, is a haram thing. And then watching of the photos is another haram again. So we should be very careful about all this. Also, until the time of the camera, it was unanimous in the ummah, the whole world, the Arab ulama, non-Arab ulama, that photography, it wasn't photography, it was the artist who used to draw with his hand, and all were unanimous that it was haram. There was a discussion whether like a reflection in water, in the mirror you see yourself, and all that detailed and perhaps unnecessary discussion, that when that is not haram, then why is a photo haram? Photo is also a reflection. And then all really, it appears like stupid discussion. Because in a mirror, as long as the person is standing there, he's there, his reflection. When he moves away, it's not there. On a photo, it's there permanently. The artist's impression is there permanently. And the easy way to understand this, that when you are looking in a mirror, it's not only that it's not a photo, but it is you can make that a great ibadat. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself taught us the dua. Allahumma ahsan, Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi fahassin khulqi. You made me in a nice form, even if I'm not nice, handsome. But insan, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah has created man, every human. Allah created him in the best of form. So there a dua is taught. And the very same Rasul of ours, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taught us that أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَذَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُسَوِّرُونَ. So that shows the two are completely different. This reflection story, and whether it's there for a while or not a while, it's clear that this one, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, made totally haram, the picture. And this looking in the mirror, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us to read a dua there. So the two are completely different. So, and also, some people have this, that the photo, we are all agreed that it is haram to make a photo. But they say the method of making it, there is a difference of opinion. That whether you draw it, like an artist, with your pencil, with your you draw it, and if you take it with a camera, or later on, which came now, the digital, and Allah knows what else will come, so that difference. So that is the difference of opinion. And therefore, respect the other view. Those who say that it is permissible, they have got their view. But this is also absolutely, totally wrong, completely. The other views, when they are valid views, they are 100% accepted. Like, for example, here in the madrasa, and everywhere, the whole world, we have got the four mazhabs. Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, and Hanbali, and we all respect one another, which is a valid difference of opinion. A valid difference of opinion, there is no problem with that. On one occasion, one student made namaz imamat here, and after Allahu Akbar, immediately he started Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So I thought I usually try where students make a mistake, then we try and correct them. So I thought I have to tell him. But then the thought came to me also, there may be some other reason. So I called him, and when I asked him that which mazhab do you follow? So he said the Maliki mazhab. So I said, you didn't read Sana. So he said, in the Maliki mazhab, it is very strictly forbidden. You read immediately, you start with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. No Sana as we read. So we respect, we make namaz behind him. It's a valid difference of opinion, no problem. But a person, which we mentioned before also, like when we were studying in Dioban, it was common within the student, and sometimes the asatiza, our teachers, ustads also should mention it by way of light-hearted talk. That in every field you get students who just scrape through, or really they don't make it, they are pushed through. So there was such a student also. And when he graduated, he got his certificate. So he told the Tatiza that I don't know anything. And people are going to ask me questions and graduate of Darul Uloom Dioban. What will I answer? So they told him the easy way out for you, whatever anyone asks you, just tell them there's a difference of opinion. For everything, difference of opinion. And in that, it looks, you give the impression that you know the whole matter very much in detail. You know there is a difference of opinion. You know the proofs, the dalail of both sides, and what faults they find in the opposition's dalail, as if you're a big allama, you are. So somebody asked him about a masala about tawheed, oneness of Allah. So he said there's difference of opinion in there. And all his stupidity and all his, that he had no knowledge, all became known. So such difference of opinion, there is absolutely no room for it. Now it is dark, it is night, and we're having enough load shedding also, that when it is dark at night, and somebody says that it is day now. Eh? So, and you say you must accommodate that person. That's his view. So you must respect his view also. There is no respect for them. Just like unity, many people promote unity at any and all levels. And all, at any and all level, unity is not required. Unity is harmful, is bad. Unity is only permissible on haq, on the truth. For all the people to unite on falsehood, if all the people of the world unite, that there is no Allah, and we say we all must be united. That unity, there is no room for such unity.
unity is only on the truth. The Arabs, they were divided almost in everything of this. But on idol worship, they were united. They were divided on everything on idol worship. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came, and that unity of theirs in which they were all united, he broke that unity. And he broke all the idols also. So unity just like that is not what is required. But unity which is on haq, which is on the truth. And the Quran is explicit, but we seem to overlook it. وَعَتَصِمُوا, hold fast, holds firmly on, unite بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ, not on batil, not on falsehood. Today many a person tries and get away and bluffs the public. Unfortunately, public just goes, sways with it also. He speaks all the rubbish and all the wrong things. And then he says we must have unity. We mustn't oppose anyone. So now he covers himself up that all what I spoke, we must be united. We must agree with one another. We must meet with one another, everything. If he spoke all wrong things, how can you unite on that? So it is very important that we understand that unity is only on correct things. And a wrong view, which is not an eligible view, which is not a view which can be accepted, that view is not accepted. And this is not narrow-mindedness, that you are very narrow-minded. This was also a thing which people used previously very much. The minute you speak about deen and about truth, you are very very narrow-minded. And like it's a very bad thing. You must be broad-minded. That all the family mix, no parda whatsoever. Music also carries on. You must accommodate. You must be broad-minded. People who speak the wrong things and from within who attack our deen, you must speak nicely to them, accept them also. You must be broad-minded. And if you don't, if you follow deen properly, the deen which what the deen of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ, if they bring iman with that which you, the Sahaba, have brought iman, that is acceptable. Otherwise, other type of deen, modern deen, is not acceptable. Let them call it narrow-mindedness. We have to follow the deen as it is. And that is, to follow deen correctly is no narrow-minded. It is istiqamat in deen. It is to be firm on deen. It is no narrow-mindedness. And broad-mindedness, that we accept all the falsehood also. Those who say that photography is permissible and which is a total haram, it is qat'i, completely haram, and we accept it and we call that broad-mindedness, that will not have any acceptance whatsoever in our deen. Then these people who promote this photography, they say it is the method. According to them, the method how photography will be made. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali writes, and he quotes a hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that a time will come in my ummah when they will change the name of things. And by the change of name, they will regard it as permissible now. Like for example, wine, they will change the name of it. And they will regard it as permissible. Music today is regarded as fine art. And a person has got a great taste when he gets involved in music. And with that now, they want to make it permissible. The hadith says that people will change the names. They will have parties. They will be listening to music, singing, dancing, jiving. All that they will do, and all that they will have made permissible by just changing the name. Allah Ta'ala will make some of those people in that place to sink in the ground. The others, He will change their forms into the forms of monkeys and pigs. He will change them. So these things have become common just to change the name. Making a photo, now a picture. Now the new name was photography, and now maybe it's a new name now. And the same way with interest, another name is given, profit, dividends, All other types of names are given, but it makes it haram. Calling Pretoria Swani is just a change of name, but it's still the same place. It doesn't change the place. So change of name doesn't change the reality. The reality is still the same. The name has changed. In the same way, wine, and also the change of the method of doing something. That does not change the reality. Like some people say that swine, pigs were haram because they were very dirty. And commonly we speak of a pigsty. That means a dirty place where pigs are very dirty. But now they are reared in very, very hygienic conditions. So now it must be permissible. So whether you change the condition and very clean you rear the pigs does not make a pig halal. In the same way, interest, you can call it profits and you can call it dividend, does not make it halal. In the same way, pictures, and you call it photography, and you call it fine art, or whatever else you want to, change of name does not change the reality. Change of the method of making it does not change the reality of the status of that. Photos are haram no matter in which way they are made. So people, they try and get away and they fool, and many people get fooled with it also. That now photos are not drawn with the hand. They are made with the camera. So now it is an instrument that is making the photo. And now, of course, with the smartphone, it takes the photo. Or even the other phones, they could take photos. So that makes it permissible. The method changing does not change the reality. That still remains haram. And with regard to the photo, the picture that is being made, go and see any dictionary in any language. A picture is a picture. And when this whole saga started, especially with the smartphone and the photos that were taken, then the company that is in charge of it, they were asked whether that is a picture or whether it is all dots, which they call pixels. And in the terminology of them, they are all finer, more detailed. That doesn't really, we don't have to worry our heads about that. But simply for us, whether it is all dots or colors they also use, whether it is all color or dots, or whether it is a picture, they clearly so said that it is a picture. And picture is haram. To understand this very easily, the criminal in the accused box, he says, I am guilty. And the judge also, the public prosecutor also, the lawyers also, all trying to prove he's not guilty. But he says, I'm guilty. The picture itself says, I'm a picture. And now big muftis are trying to prove it's not a picture. The picture itself says, I'm a picture. I'm a photo. I'm a tasweer. But big muftis are trying to prove, no, this is not a tasweer. But it's admitting itself. So this is totally, itself, it accepts that it is a picture, and it is totally, which makes it totally haram. On one occasion, some of us might be remembering Maulana Ismail Abdul Razzaq, rahmatullah alayh. He was that alim that amongst the first alims that were giving bayans in English. Up to them, our ulama were mainly from India, and they did not, or they were not, they couldn't be conversant and give a bayan in English. Therefore, he took the public by storm, because, and he gave very good bayans also. But he had his little liberalism. He was like a bit more free than what he wasn't like a, what we would say an orthodox. He had 100% the full, but he was a bit free type he was. I used to make a point, I used to go and meet him whenever I used to go to Ladysmith. On one occasion he told me that, and he was a lot in politics also, because of which in the apartheid regime he had to skip the country and he had to leave the country. And then many years he stayed in Azhar. in the university in Egypt. So he told me himself, he says that I stayed there for so many years and I've seen the ulama of Azhar, of Egypt, and ulama of other countries, Arab countries, all used to come and visit regularly there, whether it was Saudi, Jordan, Syria, all the countries. And I met them and I knew them intimately. And he said, I can tell you 100% what our ulama of India and Pakistan have got. These ulama haven't got ushre ashir, was his words. One fraction of it also. And he says that is not only as far as taqwa is concerned. Normally we feel that the Arab ulama have got a lot of knowledge and our ulama have got a lot of taqwa. But he said as far as knowledge also is concerned. And he was bi'at with Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali visited there and he was the guest of Maulana Ismail Abdul Razak. In that he went to Azhar and they met the ulama, the top ulama of Azhar. The question of photography also came up. So they proved it that it is with hand drawn. When you use your hand and you make the product, the picture, that is haram. So Hazraji asked them, and now with the camera, they say that's an instrument. So the camera is making the picture, so therefore the method has changed. So it is not the same picture which is referred to in the hadith, which is haram. So Hazraji asked them, now the camera on its own, it takes a picture. They became a bit, they were taken aback. He said, don't you have to press a button to take the picture? Is not your hand used? And they were all, they had no answer for that. So though it's not your continuous, your hand you are using, but you have to press, click that button. Then the photo is taken. And even now, you have to just press onto that, then the photo is taken. So still your hand is used. And in any case, it isn't the method of the making of the picture. The picture itself is haram. Not the method is haram. In the Hadith Sharif which I mentioned, that by giving new names to things, it doesn't make the old haram jais and permissible now. What is haram and changing the name or changing the method does not change the status. What is haram, just by changing the name or the method of making it, that does not change the status of that which is haram. And also, we should remember that anyone can make mistakes. One time we were in Binoni, and that was at the time when all this lockdown and that, and all this big controversy of keeping the masjids open, closing them. So Maulana Musa Akudi is the president of the BMJ, Binoni Muslim Jamaat, and other ulama were insisting on him that he must also have the masjids closed, social distancing, mask, etc. And he said that the authority, Jamiat, has told them that they must do that. So he said, and what if they have made a mistake? If they have made a mistake, it's a mistake. It doesn't mean you just follow everything. So whoever says anything, if that person has made a mistake, it's a mistake. And we see great people made mistakes. More greater were the ones who acknowledged their mistake. كُلُّكُمْ خَطَّاءُونَ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. All of you make mistakes. The best of those who make mistakes admit their mistakes. So it appears, more details Allah knows, or if somebody knows about it, but Allama Tantawi, who was a great alim of Egypt, of Azhar, he was perhaps the first person with the camera coming, and then he gave permission that the photos are permissible. Following with him was in India Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullahi, who was acknowledged as a great alim, and undoubtedly he was. Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi, he followed in the same. So he also, in his magazine, he also promoted the permissibility of photography. At that time, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was still a very young person, just graduated, maybe 17, 18 years old or something like that. When he was asked by his ustad to give a reply and to answer Allama Sulaiman Nadwi. He wrote and a very great article he has written, which is available and which we should try and study. We are busy in the madrasa having it translated into English, that whole article. So he made it very clear. And Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayh, where at the beginning stage, Allah guided him to go and make his islah by Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh. And then at that time, he asked for Mufti Shafi Saab's book, and he studied it, and then he retracted from his view. And many other views also he had. And he retracted from all of them, which were, and Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah ali in a poem praised him very greatly. And that is a great thing, especially a great alim, for him to retract. It's not easy. But he retracted publicly. And that was his great, great position, on which Mufti Shafi Saab rahmatullah ali said, we had great differences with one another. I wrote a rebuttal on his opinion. But now I think we will sit together on the Dastarkhan in Jannat and we will enjoy ourselves together there. In the same way, Maulana Abul Kalam Azad, who was a political man, and he was a political prisoner also, he had to go to prison. And Al-Hilal was a magazine he used to take out, in which he used to put photos, pictures also. And he also regarded it as permissible. His friends, towards the end of his life, wrote to him and they asked him for a photo of himself, and then he replied to them and he told them that I did a big mistake by permitting photos and putting photos in my magazine, and now I'm on my way out of this dunya. You should cover my faults, don't open my faults, and so don't put any of my photos. So they were all very, very concerned. And these were those people who understood and they accepted it. And if we look at Mufti Shafi Saab rahmatullah alayh, what he writes, and especially in his introduction, really it looks like he has written it now, today. And he has written it against his own son, Mufti Taqi Saab. Whatever like Mufti Taqi Saab used for his permissibility, it looks like his father, Mufti Shafi Saab, is writing that this is where you have gone wrong. This is where you have gone wrong. This is where you have gone wrong. It really appears 100% that he has written it now, and as though he is completely refuting that. Another great harm is also caused by those ulama also who accept that there is a second view, that there is ikhtilaf, and we respect that view, and we accept that, with regard to which the Quran Sharif says, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Now, by doing that, by entertaining that view, that there is a second view and there is a permissibility view, you are confusing the whole thing. وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُ الْحَقِّ. And do not hide the truth. And this is so clear that those people who have this, their asatiza, their teachers, and their mashayikh, their elders, they all had the view that there is no second view. Whether it is Mufti Mahmood Saab Gangohi rahmatullah alayh, whether it is Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Saab, whether it is Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayh, these people were our elders, all of us, our elders, and they all had the view, there is no second view. There is no valid difference of opinion. The view that there is a possibility of permissibility does not exist. They were all unanimous on that. So how can we today follow that view? There is no second view. It is totally haram. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh, when Allama Tantawi, who was a great alim, very capable, and presenting his argument, he was very impressive, and in a great way he presented it. When it came to Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh, his very choice students were also of the opinion that he will become mild on this, and he will accept it because the arguments he had presented, there was really no way you could come out of it. But Allama studied it, and after that he said one sentence, and that we will stick to the way of our elders. His choice students said those words of his were more than gold, were more than anything, that we will stick to the ways of our elders. No matter what dalail and what they present, but our elders, what Allah had put them on, we will stick on those ways. So we must be careful now with Qurbani coming. We taking photos of the animals, or somebody slaughtering, or we videoing the whole thing. Don't think, normally our nature has become, we think in an attacking form of those ulama who have given permission, or those ulama who entertain those people who have another view. But we don't think of ourselves what gunas we are involved in. Now with this Qurbani, we should think that we must not take any photos whatsoever. And not only the Qurbani, our children, wife, etc. That we don't take photos of anyone, of the cat sleeping nicely, and now you want to take a photo of the cat, of anything else. You see a bird, and beautiful it appears to you, or anything else, don't take photos of any animate objects. That is all totally haram. And if a person is involved, let him at least accept haram is haram. When we make a haram halal and a halal haram, we lose our iman. So don't do that. If you, whatever reason, it's no license and no permission that we do haram. But if anyone interest we are involved in, photography we are involved in, anything else, music, don't justify it. If we are involved in it, take it as haram. A person who does homosexuality, as long as he regards it as haram, he will still remain as a Muslim. But if he, whether he does it or he doesn't do it, he regards it as permissible. A haram, he makes it halal, he loses his iman. So in all these matters, we should refrain totally. But at least regard haram as haram, don't regard it as halal. And even the view that other ulama, that according to their view it is permissible, it is also making a halal haram. There is no second view in interest, for example. أَحَلَّ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى يَمْحَكُ اللَّهُ الْرِبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ Clear. Photography, clear it is. All picture making, whether there is a name change or there is a method change, but the status of it does not change at all. And also, some people who want to take photos, they take the name of a certain mufti. This mufti has said it is permissible. They must be fair to themselves. With that one mufti, some muftis have given permission. But there are thousands who are more superior than them. Great, great ulama who have totally condemned it. Great ulama, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Allama Yusuf bin Nuri, Mufti Mahmud Sahib, who we know in our time I'm speaking, and many other present day muftis, totally they regard it as haram. Why sweep that views under the carpet? And only use the name of one mufti that he has permitted it. That is all nafsaniyat. It isn't seeking the truth. It is what I got in my heart, what I want to do. That I'm just trying to use somebody, trying to find a scapegoat somewhere to justify myself. On one occasion, all of us must be knowing Chota Mota, Marhum, that is Qari Ismail, Sufi Qari Ismail Desai, Madrasa, what's the name? Dawatul Haq in Amzinto, his father. When he himself, the father, Chota Mota, and many of us must even have met Chota Mota, and the great work he has done, etc. But anyway, in about the 60s, round about the 60s, he went for Hajj. And he was an artist, and the madrasa he built was mainly with his beautiful artistic work, which he sold to people. They paid him much more than what actually the value was, but on that. So he was a great artist. So in the haram, he was drawing the haram's picture. Not animate, not human being, just the haram. He was arrested, and his hands were going to be chopped off. his muallim, those days we had muallims there, he intervened and he got saved. And the reason why they wanted to, not that he drew the picture of any human, any animate object, but he has got the means of doing it. Just because he got the means, so take the means away. Have his hands chopped off. Okay? At the same time, there was a person also of Natal, the old Natal. He bought a gramophone there in Makkah Sharif. And we must be still remembering the gramophone with that black records that used to play on there. And he was a pious person, real pious. And he went for Hajj. He wasn't going to buy records of music and other things, of good things there. But because there is a possibility of listening to music, in Saudi they were so strict that he was found guilty, and his punishment was to put the gramophone on his head and walk on in the old Makkah on all the gullies, like humiliating him. Why did he buy this here? So that is how strict they were. At that time, in the 70s, when TV came first to Saudi, the ulama of Saudi fastened themselves to electric poles. And they said, we won't loosen ourselves until this TV is not banned. At that time, America, that was behind, promoting it from behind, they realized that Saudi is still not ready for TV. They took it away. And then at a later stage, one great alim in Medina Sharif dreamed that Jews have entered every Muslim home. And he was now concerned and disturbed. After Maghrib one day when he was returning, he saw from most of the shops, the TVs were on. And he understood this is the meaning. That with the TV, the Jews have entered our homes. And today, there isn't now time to go into that. But how many good homes, TVs which are on all the time, whether somebody is watching or not. But it is the culture the TV must be on. And the people are watching the TV. So this is where we have given open permission for all the filthiest and dirtiest things to come into our homes. Nobody of us will be such that somebody will say, we want to have a dance party in your house. Some dirty, filthy people of low morals. We want to come and we will have drugs and we will have a sex orgy in your house. Who will permit it? But with the TV, you are permitting it. Now all that is taking place. And with your permission and with your patronage, all this evil is taking place. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, we're going over time, but Allah ta'ala save us all from this and understand the total hurmat of it. And not only those who are permitting it, that they are doing wrong, we are also involved in whichever level. We have newspapers, we have to have something, and today, how many of this Lanesia Times, this Rising Sun, all that they come and put for free in your. Now don't leave it in the home. You put it away in the garage. And especially any photo thing, whether it is, we were having breakfast with our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali at Bhai Abu Bhatia's place long ago. And then it was just suddenly that Dawit was arranged, not from before. So there was no real preparation. So they put, like for example, the Rice Krispies box on the dasturkhan. And they put the wheat big box, not the wheat big, Rice Krispies, post-tosties there. And there were photos on that. Meals up, immediately took his pen and started scratching the pictures on there. Right? So we should be careful about this. That when it comes, money is a thing we can't help. But still, as much as we can, as ihtiyat, precaution we can take, in all things, try and avoid. And remember also, to look at pictures is also haram. Not only the taking of pictures, don't just condemn those people who are permitting it, who are respecting those who are allowing it, but we, to look at it also, is not permissible. So all this haram, we should save ourselves. Allah save us also. That when there are many ulama also, many people who will condemn it. But when those people who permit it, we mix with them freely. And we mix with them in public. And public gets confused. They wonder that he condemns it. Like, for example, a Qari who comes and he's without a beard. And we say it's not permissible to entertain and to allow the recital of a Qari without a beard. That is 100% correct what we are saying. But then we are present in his recital. Now the people get confused at what's happening now. You are saying it's not permissible, then you are present there. You are saying a certain person, his views are totally wrong. We don't agree with his views at all. And then you are present and you are meeting him, hugging him, and you are talking and joking with him. The people get confused with this. So we should be careful that what our position is. And whoever is in a muqtada status, leadership status, he must be very careful. The teacher, the ustad in the class, the parents at home, they are the leaders of their children. Children follow what they say. All. So whoever it is, the imam, the maulana, the mufti, all of us, we have to be careful. Our actions are interpreted by people as they see what is happening. Allah guide us all and let us be the means, miftahul khair, the keys of good, and mighlaqul shar, and we are the locks of evil, and not become the miftahul shar, and we become the keys of evil, and mighlaqul shar. And we lock the doors of good. Allah save us from that. Allah guide us to righteousness. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.